Good morning. It is 7 minutes past 6 o'clock. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Gene Purcell, and I'm here today filling in for Joy Cardine. Getting a job in 2013 isn't easy under the best of circumstances, but think about what it would be like to try and get a job if you've got a criminal record. A story in last week's Wall Street Journal outlined complaints filed in federal court by the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, which charged two large employers with improperly using criminal background checks in hiring, a practice which the commission says has the effect of discriminating against African-American applicants. We have two guests this hour who are joining us to talk about the issue of criminal background checks and employment searches, what's legal and what isn't, and how they're working to provide those with arrest or conviction records with a real opportunity to get a job. Chanyelle McLeod is the founder of Second Chances Staffing Services, a career readiness reentry organization for ex-offenders, and she also established Clean Slate Milwaukee in 2012 and Clean Slate Madison in 2013, organizations dedicated to affording second chances to those with arrest and conviction records. We're also joined by Shanette Campbell-Hunter, an attorney who works with Clean Slate Madison, as well as working with the Wisconsin State Public Defender's Office and Taylor & Associates. And of course, we'd like to hear from you too. Have you lost out on a job because of a criminal background check? Or do you know somebody who has? Are there circumstances where having a record should prevent a person from getting a job? Or should this be decided on a case-by-case basis? Give us a call with your questions and your comments. Our number is 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can use email. That address is talk@wpr.org. And don't forget that you can post comments on Facebook. Just look for the Joy Cardine Show page there. Well, Chanyelle McLeod and Shanette Campbell-Hunter, good morning. Welcome to Wisconsin Public Radio.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to have both of you here with us in the studio. I want to start by getting some reaction to that story in the Wall Street Journal. The story concerned two big companies, BMW in America and Dollar General, I think. And they'd been being investigated by the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission. And what they found was, well, I'll let Shanette, could you maybe pick up the story for us and put it in some context? What they found was their hiring practices, they were sort of filtering out folks that had criminal backgrounds.
Yes, exactly. And just to put a little bit in perspective, what they found is that the employers were violating Title VII of the 1964 Civil Rights Act, in that they were using the background checks in a blanket, more of a blanket fashion. They were not considering individual records, individual accomplishments, individual histories. And the effect of that, having a blanket policy and eliminating individuals who had a conviction or arrest record, is that in the BMW case, you had 88 persons who were dismissed after, I'll just backtrack a little bit, after BMW decided to hire a new contractor. Then the contractor conducted background checks upon existing employees, and that involved approximately 645 persons. And in the end, they decided that anyone who had a conviction in the following categories: murder, assault and battery, rape, child abuse, spousal abuse, domestic violence, manufacturing of drugs, distribution of drugs, and weapons violations would not be kept on. And therefore, it resulted in 88 persons being eliminated from BMW, and 70 out of the 88 were African American. So that created what you call a disparate impact, just a gross disparity, in that African Americans are more likely to be convicted, six times more likely to have convictions than their white counterparts, and even two to three times more so than their Hispanic or Latino counterparts. So the issue is that, you know, you can have a policy that facially on its face is neutral, but when applied, it then has a disparate impact upon a protected class, such as race, gender, national origin. And that, in this case, that was the fact with BMW and also with Dollar General.
And as I understand it, Part of the issue is that they were using it in that blanket fashion.
Yes.
In other words, in certain cases, and we can talk about that, it's okay, as I understand it, to consider criminal background history sort of on an individual basis. But when you take it like that and apply it across the board in sort of a filtering fashion, I guess, that's when you start running into problems with the law.
Exactly. Because when you look at and I'm just looking at the complaints that were actually filed mm-hmm. by the Equal Opportunities Commission. What they would like to do is to have you to look at the age of the offender, any actual nexus or connection between the crime and your specific job duties, and then employee safety and other matters necessary to the operation of BMW or Dollar General, the defendant's business, and then also the time that's transpired since the offense. So when you look blanketly, you bring into that wide net people who may have committed something when they were 19, 20 years old. They're in their 30s or 40s or 50s, and unfortunately, that still applies that, well, you've worked here in the case of BMW. People have been there 14 years having a good record with the employer, and then all of a sudden you're excluded from employment. It's just no direct nexus between the crime you committed, you know, in the past and the business and necessity of BMW at that point.
So we're talking about this big story in the Wall Street Journal, and the question I have is that something that we see here in Wisconsin in terms of the way that law is being applied, the way that filter is being applied for folks who are applying for jobs and criminal background checks?
Well, definitely. Now, I am not aware of a large case involving a large number of people, as in the BMW case mm-hmm. or the Dollar General case. Shanyel may be aware of some of those, but individually, I've had people come to me to say that while they honestly let me know that because of something in my record, and it's not really directly related to working here in manufacturing or in customer service, that's why I was eliminated, and they just kind of told me off the record, and so they're looking for help in that. And you just have people in their 40s and 50s who have committed, you know, an offense maybe in their 20s or 30s and is still being held against them.
Yeah, I want to bring Shanyel McLeod into the conversation here. Now, here in Wisconsin, we've got issues, and you're working in Milwaukee and Madison. So what's your experience been with this sort of thing?
Well, when I first seen this article, I must admit, unfortunately, I wasn't surprised because employment discrimination is nothing new. It's actually, you know, how corporations, like you said, filter out a certain class of people, a certain race of people by using the background checks. And here in Wisconsin, you know, we have this open records, you know, policy, and the residents are a lot more subject to discrimination because everything is public.
You're talking about CCAP, right?
That's right.
The Circuit Court Access Project.
Wisconsin Circuit Court yeah. Access. And, you know, everything you do, every move you make is on that record for all to see. Now, if you're part of a race of people that are arrested at higher rates, incarcerated at higher rates, then you're going to be discriminated at higher rates. And one corporation that is notorious for hiring and then firing based on arrest records, or not even hiring at all based on arrest records or background, is Walmart. And there have been, you know, several, you know, countless incidents where different people have come to me, and throughout my research in Milwaukee and other surrounding counties, is, you know, they will say, I got hired at Walmart, but two or three weeks later, you know, they'll fire me, you know, and they check my background and then they fire me. And I'm like, this can't be a coincidence. This can't be, you know, one or two people maybe, but not over 10, you know, 11 people. And this has just come to my attention. So just imagine how broad this is, you know, and Walmart is so big. You know, you can't really just take Walmart to court. You know, Walmart is one of those corporations that has got too big for the law. So in a lot of these corporations, you know, there's no penalty for it. Like, what is the penalty? You know, we don't have an equal rights division on a county level. Shanette just wrote, read from the EEOC and all the guidelines, but if you were to file a complaint of employment discrimination in Milwaukee County or in Wisconsin, period, how far would it really go? Because of all the bureaucracy and the red tape and all the things you would have to go to just to file that one complaint, and then to get all those other people to go along with you to file that complaint so where it can make a difference, it's pretty hard. It's like an uphill battle.
And before we take a break, Chanyelle, you've had some experience with this. I mean,
yes.
you started Clean Slate Madison, Clean Slate Milwaukee, and you started Second Chances Staffing. But it's pretty personal for you.
It is. It is personal because I've been in corporate. I've been in corporate for 10 years straight. And because of a personal, you know, because of a personal issue that took place at home, I'm a survivor of domestic violence, and the only way I was able to survive was by fighting back, you know, and I received a conviction behind that, and I was never able to go back into corporate ever again because of that conviction, and I know it was because of the conviction. I mean, I didn't lose any intelligence. I didn't learn how to type any slower. I didn't, you know, my comprehension didn't fail. It was merely because of that conviction. And I remember at Wells Fargo, where I had been there for years already. And I was trying to move around in a company. And of course they checked the background, and you know, she was like, well, you didn't have this background before you started. Did you lie on application? I'm like, no. Is it something that happened in the course of the employment? And I was let go. And I'm like, why? You know, it wasn't because I didn't come to work, or it wasn't because I didn't, you know, I called in all the time. It was merely because of this background. And so when you go to interview after interview and you make it to the third round and you're about to get the job, and they look you square in your eye and be like, I would love to give you this job, but you have this conviction. And we can't hire you, you know, and you know you qualify. And that's extremely devastating. It's heartbreaking.
We're going to take a break right now. When we return, we'll talk about some of the work that's being done here in Wisconsin to clear convictions. There are cases when you can take some of these things, expunge them from the records, and then basically give people that second chance. If you'd like to join in the discussion, 800-642-1234 is our number, 800-642-1234. I'm Gene Purcell. I'm here today filling in for Joy Cardine, and this is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Past 6 o'clock. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Gene Purcell. I'm here today filling in for Joy Cardine. We're talking today about criminal background checks and the effect that they can have on your chances to get a job, and more specifically, the effect that they can have on African Americans, their opportunities to get work. What does that conviction, what does that charge look like on a record, and how can that affect your opportunity to have work? We're joined today by Chanyelle McLeod, the founder of Second Chances Staffing Services. She also established Clean Slate Milwaukee and Clean Slate Madison in 2012 and 2013. Those organizations are dedicated to affording second chances to those with arrest and conviction records. Shanette Campbell-Hunter is also with us. She's an attorney who works with Clean Slate in Madison. We've got some callers who would like to join in, and we start with Daisha, who joins us from Appleton. Good morning.
Good morning.
You're on the air.
Okay, my comment is this. I'm African-American, and I've been a nurse for 7 years, and I do believe in the process of having criminal background checks, because year after year you see the negative effect of not extensively checking people just in child care and health care alone. However, I believe that the true issue is, as your guests say, in that there is a disproportionate focus on African Americans in an antiquated system of racial profiling and policing the streets, and the use of a term in psychology and psychiatry called microaggressions, which drives up conviction rates of African-Americans in the courts, And that is what I believe is the true problem. The background check system is in place for a reason, to protect the public. However, criminal prosecution and racial profiling simply focuses on one kind of society. Thank you.
Daisha, thanks so much for the call. Let's go to Shanette Campbell-Hunter on this. She says, Daisha does, that there is a place for criminal background checks, and I'm assuming that you agree with that, that in certain cases there is that place.
Absolutely, and we definitely want to balance the rights of the individual with protecting the public. And of course, in the field that Daisha is in healthcare, and then she mentioned child care, you must protect vulnerable populations, children, elderly, people who are sick, from predators, from violent people. And it is appropriate to exclude, based on an individual assessment again, people who have a propensity towards violence or child molestation or battery or such offenses as domestic violence. And they would not be appropriate then to work with vulnerable populations. The problem again here, as she agreed, is that you have the over-incarceration, arrest, and conviction of African Americans, and also the fact that programming is not readily available always to African Americans in their communities, so that they can rehabilitate themselves and that they can be involved in skills building activities and educational advances. You'll learn that a great population, a majority of those who are incarcerated, are very undereducated or functionally illiterate, and that then leads to you not being able to function well in the society, and you might go into the underground economy. And then once you've made a mistake in your younger life and you aren't given a second chance, you don't have as many of the boys' ranches and different programming available in the inner cities that you have in other communities. They are not able then to get on the first rung, not advanced, but the first entry-level rung to having a respectable and suitable employment in a respectable manner.
Let's take another call right now. Mike joins us from Madison. Hi, Mike.
Hello, good morning. I was calling just to voice my frustration with the idea, first of all, that you never pay your debt to society. It may used to be, when before we had all of these digital records following everybody, that you could pay your debt, serve your time, and then relocate or start over, pull yourself up by your bootstraps and move on. But these days, your criminal history and even your credit history chase you down to every job and every state, where it's to the point where if you're an American, you're better off coming from another country to this country where your history doesn't follow you than committing a mistake of some sort in this country. Because you're never going to outrun it. The second thing is that, if employers would say up front what crimes would disqualify you from this position, and in any position description, they should be able to tell you ahead of time, if you have this type of conviction, you need not apply. But instead, they waste everybody's time and get everybody hooked up about that you would be a suitable candidate, only to pull the rug out from under you in the end of the process. So those are two of my biggest frustrations.
Well, Mike, thanks so much for the call. And I think this is probably a good time to start talking maybe a little bit about the work of Clean Slate in Milwaukee and Madison. Chanyelle McLeod, Mike brings up a really interesting point. I think that makes it tough in 2013, that idea of a digital history, that it does really follow you everywhere. So let me ask you this. How does Clean Slate work? I mean, the history that somebody's got is right there for everybody to see.
That's right.
How can you change that? Can you change history?
Well, it all depends. You know, it's very complex because in Milwaukee County, opposed to, like I said, other surrounding counties, including Dane County, that second chance is supposed to be stipulated at the time of sentencing. And when I say sentencing, it's just, let's say that you were being sentenced for your crime and or charged for your crime, and it was at that time where the judge is to say, which is a god-awful time to ask for an expungement before you get sentenced, but the judge is supposed to say right then and there, if you stay out of trouble, you complete probation and or parole successfully, you come back after completion of your sentence, and we're take this right off your record.
So expungement means it goes away.
Right.
It happened, paid the price, and it's done.
That's correct. Expunge, the word expunge means to delete, annihilate, remove. So the expungement of an arrest record means to deletion, the deletion of an arrest record or conviction record, so that it would increase your chances for employment, housing, and higher education if you chose to go to college and better yourself and change your life and, you know, create a new path. If you have that conviction, and if it's not stipulated right there at the time of sentencing, if the judge doesn't say it, it can't happen. It can't happen. So it's very technical. So, you know, for the people who do have those, you know, stipulations at the time of sentencing, the judge will say, you know, if you stay out of trouble, we'll get this off your record. So that's pretty much the population that we are able to work with. And unfortunately, we're not able to work with a lot of people because the judge doesn't say that. And especially in Milwaukee County, you're arrested for, you're hit with a felony right away, you know, and then you have people in other counties that are may have a drug treatment courts afforded to them. In Milwaukee County, bam, you got this felony court, you know. And if you, before the 2009 law, and expanded to include felonies, you couldn't get a felony expunged. You would have to go to the governor to get a pardon, and he pretty much shut that down. So there's really nothing that can be done for those people.
So we'll pick this up. We've got news coming up from Wisconsin Public Radio, and we'll pick up that, talk a little bit more about the expungement law here in Wisconsin and the work of Clean Slate Milwaukee, and we'll be taking your calls as well. 800-642-1234. We're talking this hour about the issue of criminal background checks, how they can affect your opportunity, your family members' opportunity to get meaningful employment, and what you can do about it. I'm Gene Purcell. I'm here filling in for Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 25 minutes now before 7 o'clock. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Gene Purcell. I'm here today filling in for Joy Cardine. We're talking about the issue of criminal background checks and how they affect your opportunity to get a job. We're keying this off of a story in last week's Wall Street Journal about a couple of big companies, BMW of America, Dollar General, where complaints have been filed by the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission. Federal court complaints have been filed, charging that they use a blanket sort of method of filtering out folks, job applicants with criminal backgrounds, and that in turn discriminates against the African American population because that population is incarcerated at a higher rate. We're talking about that in an effort here in Wisconsin to help those folks who have a criminal background and have a record, give them the opportunity, if it's possible, to change that record and to give them a job opportunity. We're joined here in the studio by two people. Shanette Campbell-Hunter is an attorney who works with Clean Slate Madison. She also works with the Wisconsin State Public Defender's Office. And Chanyelle McLeod is the founder of Second Chances Staffing, and she also established Clean Slate Milwaukee in 2012, Clean Slate Madison in 2013, organizations that are dedicated to affording second chances to those with arrest and conviction records. Shanette Campbell-Hunter, before the break, we were talking about what it takes to have something expunged from your criminal background record here in Wisconsin. And that law, as I understand it, was expanded in 2009. It had been on the books for a while for, I think, misdemeanors and so forth. In 2009, it was expanded.
Yes, definitely. Prior to 2009, you had to be less than 21 years old at the time of your offense, and then it was only for misdemeanors. And so people who committed nonviolent felonies were not eligible for expungement. In 2009, that expanded as to when a person is under the age of 25 at the time of the commission of their offense, and also if the term of imprisonment is a maximum of 6 years or less. At the time of sentencing, and this is important, the judge must order at the time of sentencing that the record be expunged upon successful completion of the sentence. If the court determines two things, the person will benefit The defendant will benefit and society will not be harmed by them receiving an expungement.
And Chanyelle McLeod, I want to bring you back into the conversation. We were talking while the news was playing, and I asked you, you know, is it a challenge for you to find people who want to participate in the Clean Slate program, to have that opportunity to have their records expunged? And you told me, no, that's not really the problem. The problem is you have too many people coming through the door, but there's a big but there. There's a big problem that you face when they do come through the door.
Yes. No, we don't have a problem at all finding people. As a matter of fact, we do very little marketing, and we still have a large amount of people contacting us via phone or Facebook or email. And the issue is finding a qualified applicant. You would have to pretty much sift through 20, 30 people before we can find one qualified person. And that qualified person will be, you know, will have the criteria that Attorney Hunter just named off. You will have to have had expungement stipulated at the time of sentencing. You have to fit that age criteria of being less than 25 years old. And if you have a felony, it has to be a nonviolent class H or I felony. So, you know, with that, those very narrow criteria you have to face, it's very hard to find those people. And if, you know, even if they were arrested for a felony and it was amended to a misdemeanor, you know, it's still on the record as a felony, but for one, and then you're not offered that opportunity for a second chance at the time of sentencing, which can have lifelong lasting consequences.
800-642-1234 is our number if you would like to join in. Let's head to the phones. We've got some people who would like to make a comment, and we start with Dwayne, who joins us from Hayward. Hi.
Yeah. I personally would like to see automatic expungements of all forfeitures.
Me too.
After 5 years with no further convictions, and all misdemeanors after 10 years of no further convictions. You know, 50 years ago, you got out of prison, you moved a couple hundred miles away. No one knew your record unless you really, really dug for it, or unless you got caught and re-fingerprinted or something. This computer age is just ridiculously on how people are tracked and followed for decades after committing mm-hmm. even a minor traffic violation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Dwayne, yeah. Thanks for the call. And you know, that point comes up a couple of times, that 50 years ago, 100 years ago, you could make the fresh start yourself just by picking up and moving someplace. Shanette Campbell-Hunter, one of the things he mentioned was this idea of automatic expungement for certain crimes after a certain period of time has passed. Is there any legislation that you're aware of in Wisconsin that is being proposed or that has been proposed? And if so, what was the fate of that?
Well, State Representative Evan Goyke, who is Ms. McLeod, Chanyelle's state representative, he is presenting a retroactive expungement bill, which would mean that if you have committed a crime and you have not committed additional crimes within 5 years, 10 years, then you would have that right to expungement, just as the caller said. And without that, really, people will never, you know, be able just to even enter the entry-level work life. They won't be able to enter into housing. They'll get their applications denied for student aid, things like that. And so people really do need that fresh start if we really want to stem the tide of recidivism, where a person does not see any legitimate options and then they enter into the underground economy, often, you know, illegal things like drug dealing or prostitution, because all the doors are closed to them in society.
Now, I haven't heard of this legislation. There's a lot of other things going on in the legislature right now. Is this something that you expect is got a future? I mean, how far along the process is this right now?
Well, I'm pretty optimistic, I guess, because I will have to be. But I just want to say that this expungement law have been progressively expanding over the last two legislative sessions. In 2009, it changed. It expanded. 2011, it expanded more. And so I'm pretty optimistic that there will be some movement in expungement. I don't think that Evan introduced his bill yet. So we've been pretty much trying to build momentum for that bill. So when it is introduced, it gets some type of leeway. I don't know if it'll pass all the way through, considering the makeup of the sessions right now, or the House right now. So, you know, I do believe that it will get some momentum. You know, it will have some, you know, at least make it somewhere. Mm-hmm. And I know that it is a joint venture. It's a legislative as well as a judicial movement. So I know that the judges actually have their recommendations that they're going to introduce. I don't know exactly word for word what those recommendations are. I just want to say that, you know, the reason why I'm so optimistic is because our motto is forward. You know, our motto is forward. We should be, you know, all moving forward together. But if you have an entire population that is deliberately left behind, you know, that's going to stagnate the whole state's progress. You know, so I just feel like if, you know, if we should be moving forward, our motto is forward, then we, you know, our laws are way behind and we need to bring those up to date.
800-642-1234 if you would like to join in. You mentioned, and we talked about the expansion in 2009, but I was not aware of the expansion in the expungement law in 2011. What were the changes there?
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, in 2009, they included Class I felonies.
Mm-hmm.
And then in 2011, they expanded to include Class H felonies. So now we have Class H and I felonies. When at first it was just I, then they added H because they are the low levels felonies. You, with A being the most severe, homicide, murder,
mm-hmm.
and then it goes to least severe, Class H and I, and then you go into the misdemeanor, you know, realm. So it's one step above misdemeanors when they probably could have gave them a misdemeanor and it saved them all the collateral consequences of that conviction or felony convictions. But they chose to give them a Class I felony, and those are expungible.
We're going to take a break right now. When we return, we will continue our discussion about criminal background checks, how they can affect your chances for employment, for renting an apartment, for doing a whole host of things in life, and efforts that our guests today are trying to take to help change that, to give people that second chance. 800-642-1234. We've got some open lines for you if you would like to take a call. 800-642-1234. I'm Gene Purcell. I'm here for Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 12 minutes before 7 o'clock. I'm Gene Purcell in for Joy Cardine here on the Ideas Network. Taking a look at Wisconsin weather for today, it is going to be sunny and mild throughout much of the state. Expect highs mostly in the low to mid-70s. It'll be in the 60s near the Great Lakes tonight. Clear and cool, some lows could drop down into the 40s. Coming up after 8 o'clock, Syria is expected to be a hot topic at this week's Group of Eight summit in Northern Ireland. That conference comes just days after the U.S. announced it would help arm the opposition to Syrian President Bashar al-Assad. My guest discusses why he says an assertive U.S. policy in Syria is best for America's interest in the Mideast. That's coming up after 8 o'clock. For the rest of this hour, we continue our discussion on criminal background checks and how they are used in many cases, some cases anyway, to discriminate against African Americans as they seek employment. We're talking today with two guests from here in Wisconsin. Shanette Campbell Hunter is an attorney who works with Clean Slate Madison. She also works with the Wisconsin State Public Defender's Office. And Chanyelle McLeod is with us. And among other things, she established Clean Slate Milwaukee in 2012 and Clean Slate Madison in 2013. It's an organization that is dedicated to affording second chances to those with arrest and conviction records. We've been talking about how that process works and some changes that have happened in the last couple of years here in Wisconsin in terms of a broadening of those expungement laws. We've got some phone calls lined up. We'll be getting to those in just a second. 800-642-1234. And Shanette Campbell Hunter, one of the questions I wanted to ask you, I mean, as an attorney, you spend time with clients in court, and this idea of making sure that expungement gets before a judge, Is that something that that obviously it's something that you think about?
Definitely, especially after getting involved with Ms. McLeod, is something that I always put forth in plea negotiations if, you know, it's appropriate mm-hmm. for the class of crime that they are being convicted of. But it doesn't always work, and that's why, you know, there's that great need for it to go beyond just that judicial decision so that people in their futures, if they stay clean, that they can get the retroactive expungement. So we definitely need that update. But in educating people and clients and even prosecutors concerning the benefit of, you know, stemming the tide of recidivism of the person. For instance, I did have a client recently that said, well, would I do a shorter term if I take this program versus going for the probation and expungement? But I explained to her that you are 18 now. You don't want to get to be 30 years old and then not get an apartment, not get a job because you have this on your record. Expungement is the best way for you to go. And she considered that, and her caseworker was present with her in the negotiation. And then she decided she'd like to go for the deal with the expungement, even with a longer term of probation, because she really wanted that clean slate.
It's really got to be hard to explain that, though, to an 18-year-old.
Definitely, but I just talk about, hey, if you want to rent an apartment and get out on your own, get your own place. If you want to get jobs, if, you know, you want to apply for federal and state assistance for education, if you, you know, loans, licensing, insurance, all of these things, firearm rights, all of these things are affected by you having that criminal record and not getting it expunged. So since the prosecutor, and that is another hurdle, you want the prosecutor to agree in the plea negotiations that this would be appropriate as well, then the third hurdle is then the judge. But usually and traditionally, when those things are agreed upon by the parties during the plea negotiations, the judge will, if he looks at it as being reasonable by the criteria benefiting the individual and not harming society, then he or she will put that order in. So recently I've had two successes in that realm in getting expungement onto the record.
Let's go back to the phones right now, and Chelsea joins us from La Crosse. Hi.
Hi, good morning. I just kind of like to extend on the topic and say that I work for the Wisconsin National Guard Challenge Academy out here at Fort McCoy, and we're 75% funded by federal and 25% by state. And part of our criteria in order for the kids to be able to come in and earn their HSED is that they can't have any felonies, even if they're expunged. All felonies had to be dropped to a misdemeanor in order for them to come into our program. And we have to turn so many kids away that could potentially, I mean, turn their life around and get their HSED and kind of have that fresh start that we're talking about because of the felony. And we've seen it as low as the age of 14, kids getting convicted of a felony for, I mean, something like manufacturing drugs or bringing it on school grounds. And I think that's something that legislators kind of need to take a look at, is the impact they're having on a child's life. I mean, because still inevitably they're a child at the age of 14, to convict them with something so harsh.
Chelsea, thanks so much for the call. And I have to say, I wasn't aware of what she said about, in some cases, even having the charges expunged isn't good enough, depending for this particular program anyway. That's
because the state and the federal can still see the record. It's just public. The public cannot see the record, but the courts still have the record. The record never really leaves, ever.
Now let's clarify that, because that's I'm not an attorney, so it's got some news to me value here. So when you're expunging something, if I go and look on CCAP, I can't see it. But if I'm a law enforcement officer, if I'm a judge, I can go on my system and it's still there.
Yes, and in some cases that's necessary because you still have the balance of protecting the public and mm-hmm. you know, the greater good of society. And so, but in the everyday course of their lives and renting an apartment and applying for most jobs, they would not be halted in those efforts, which is pretty much the majority of where people run into problems. But it definitely, when you look at charging and overcharging and African Americans not getting the benefit of charges being reduced from felonies to misdemeanors in proportion to their white counterparts, that's definitely something that we as defense attorneys and even prosecutors should be looking at to even the playing field and just in fundamental fairness.
I wanted to speak to the last caller's comment when she said that the place that she works for does a blanket discrimination on all felonies, regardless if they were substantially related to the offense. When I hear no felonies, period, it throws up a red flag. It's like no blacks, no African-Americans, period. And we already know that African-Americans are already, like I said before, arrested more than their white counterparts. So when you say no felonies at all, regardless if they've been expunged, regardless if they've been pardoned, that itself is against the law. The EEOC should be after them next. I mean, you can't just do a blanket, just outright no felonies, period, because we already know what that means.
We're kind of running. We've got about 3 or 4 minutes left before the top of the hour, and I want to start with you, Chanyelle. As you've started the Clean Slate programs in Milwaukee and Madison, so two questions. First, how are they going so far? And secondly, how optimistic are you that you're going to be able to make a difference with these programs?
Well, thank you for asking that. They're going it's kind of slow right now. We're still in our infancy stages. We haven't received a dollar in funding. We haven't received any funding. Everything we've been doing is coming out of our own pockets. So, you know, with that being said, we're kind of still in a slow motion mode and still, you know, gaining momentum and just trying to reach all the people we can. But I am extremely optimistic that this will rise and be able to affect a lot of people. We've already been able to help people, you know, individual people get a second chance and help people get their records expunged and be able to go back to school and be able to get the job and be able to get the apartment. So we've already been making a difference. We're just looking to do it on a larger scale.
Do you see it expanding throughout the state more, or Madison, Milwaukee it for right now?
I do see some movement. It may not be all what we're looking for, but I definitely think in the next, you know, next 5 to 7 years, or, you know, I do believe it will change. I'm completely and hopefully optimistic. I'm really hopeful about that.
And Shanette Campbell-Hunter, as you've been working with Clean Slate and providing some of your legal expertise to the process, you know, do you see hope that it will make a difference, that you'll be able to make a significant difference?
Oh, definitely, because when people have their, you know, record cleared, when they're able to apply without that stigma, it's kind of, you know, like having a scarlet letter or having modern day banishment, as I learned in psychology and the law. It's a form of modern day banishment. When we remove that, you're going to have more people working, more people being productive, more people living independent lives, and that can only make the society better, make our state stronger. So I'm definitely optimistic.
Well, unfortunately, we're out of time, but I'd like to thank both of you for joining us this morning.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Chanyelle McLeod has been with us. She is founder of Second Chances Staffing Services and established Clean Slate Milwaukee and Clean Slate in Madison. And also joining us, Shanette Campbell-Hunter, currently providing some legal advice for Clean Slate Madison. She also works with the Wisconsin State Public Defender's Office and the legal firm of Taylor & Associates in Milwaukee. The program was produced by Robin Cherry this morning. We had on-air production from Justin Williams, and we had direction from Christy Taylor. I'm Gene Purcell, and I'm here today filling in for Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.